everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's Real Talk is with a next gen Real Leader who I am thrilled to know. He just makes me smile inside out. Keyonte Frazier is here with us today. And I'll give you a little bit of context. We met on LinkedIn because of Keyonte's awesome. I was just telling him, I love the way he represents himself and engages on LinkedIn. You should check him out. I saw his header and his photo and I was like, who is this guy? I got to know him. But you know, he is making moves in sports and entertainment and marketing and brand partnerships and player representation. And he is just getting started with his career. So with all of that, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Shauna. I really appreciate it. I'm super glad that I got this opportunity to hop on your podcast and talk to you. Super excited for it.
Oh, good. Thank you. And it totally kudos to you because it was because you reached out to me and you were just so, I could feel your energy and your authenticity just in the way that you reached out to me and, you know, just your presence there and you're so authentic and comfortable in your skin. And so just, so I just wanted to let the audience know, like, what really captivated, you know, was so captivating about you. So we have formed a friendship, folks. And so we've been able to talk and I've made some introductions and I'm just so excited for you and all you're doing. So that's a bit of the context for how we know each other. So I would love for you to share with people a bit about your evolution in your career from college, from being an athlete in college to what you've been doing entrepreneurially. Just give people an idea of what that's been like.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to give a little background, I'm from the Washington, D.C., PG County area, you know, it's home of like Kevin Durant, all these top, you know, top NBA athletes. I was an athlete as myself. My dad introduced me to the game from a super early age. You know, I was like 2 years old. That's when I started, like 2-3 years old, when he put basketball in my hand. So from there, all I knew was basketball.
Yeah.
But ended up going to college. You know, I played AAU. I went to college for it at Brown Mackey College. And then from there, you know, I had to figure out what was next for me as far as basketball. You know, my plan A was to go pro, you know, and that didn't happen. So I had to figure out and pivot on where I was going to go. Because, you know, once the ball stopped bouncing, I feel like a lot of guys lose themselves and they're trying to figure out who they are. You know, I had to ask myself a lot of questions like, okay, Key, what do you want to do? What are you good at? And at one point, I didn't know, you know. Yeah. So I ended up being on LinkedIn for the first time. Yeah. And an opportunity where I could go to L.A., to this program called Accelerated Sports Career Academy in downtown LA. I had to write an essay for it. And the crazy part is, when I got the scholarship, my essay was about why student athletes should get paid, which now, you know, it's NIL thing now. So I chose that. They loved it. And from there, they offered me a scholarship to attend Accelerated Sports Career Academy, where I was able to work with the LA Clippers, LA Kings, and UCLA on their marketing team. So took that experience and I ran with it, you know, which made me get my first opportunity to work with Monumental Sports in Washington, D.C., you know, which is home of the Washington Wizards. Mm-hmm. And I was stoked because I'm like, oh, I get to work for a team in my hometown. I'm excited. But then, you know, the pandemic happened. And before they can get to me and let me know, like, look, you're not going to be able to work. I was already thinking about ways on how to pivot, you know, because I was trying to stay sharp. And I was like, I don't want to sit and wait for opportunity to come, you know. So I knew I was real good at creating genuine connections, relationships with people. And I had access to a lot of different athletes that knew me from playing. And I was like, I'm just going to step in the world of sports marketing and being these guys' brand manager. From there, it just took off.
As you do, I'm just going to step into it. I love that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, but when we first spoke, it was like right away, I was so taken with the way you were so creative and the way that you talked about things, connecting dots between the marketing, the brand partners, the athlete. And so it just, to your point about just running with it, you really do that. And like the energy that you bring to the table and you riff these ideas and these deals that you had done. And I was just really impressed by it. So I just celebrate your, just the way you throw yourself into it and you figure it out along the way. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, because to be honest, I just got tired of waiting for an opportunity. I looked at it like this. I was like, I was spending so much time trying to look for opportunity and apply, where I was just like, maybe that opportunity is not going to happen. I just need to create something with myself.
Yeah. You know?
And literally the day I took a risk was the day I literally, things start happening. Things start popping up. And if I would have never took that risk, I'd probably still be looking for an opportunity. I probably would have got an opportunity by now. But
yeah.
Taking the risk kind of put me in a different lane where I could create a name for myself.
It's so interesting. I was actually talking with my coach, Leslie Harris, today, and we were just talking about the element of when you do that kind of thing, it's putting yourself in a position where you are controlling what you can control, and you're less of sort of this at the whim of if something's going to come, if somebody else is going to say yes to you, or, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing, because as kind of scary and new as it is, as it can be, there's also an element of safety to that, because you're like, yeah, but I'm controlling my destiny by taking action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I'm super, I'm so glad that I did that, because literally I was waiting. Like, I was like, all right, people were telling me, they were reaching out to me, telling me, hey, you didn't get it. You don't have experience. I'm like, how am I supposed to get experience if, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. So I just got tired of that.
How am I supposed to get experience if I don't have it?
Exactly. So I was just like, man, it's just something got to shake. And I was like, let me just jump out there. Let me take that leap. If I fail, I know I could go back and do what I was already doing, trying to find something. But if I don't, I'm gonna roll with it. So
yeah. And I mean, look at all the learnings along the way. And I bet, you know, you have we were talking about this earlier a bit, about this level of confidence that you have, and you mm-hmm. feel ready for the next thing. And I think so much of that comes because you did put yourself out there to get that experience. And so right. You also face that question of having to face that every day, like, well, what if I fail? Well, I don't know if there's a guy I follow and I become friends with on LinkedIn. If you don't follow him, you should. Jake Brown. But his whole platform is fail forward. And right. It's so great, because it's actually like, we're all going to fail to some degree every day. Right. But, you know, you just keep going, learn, you know, take your right. licks and keep learning and keep going, so to say.
Absolutely. Especially in this industry that I'm in now, the whole sports industry. You can hear so many notes, but that's why you gotta have tough skin, you know. So I feel like just where I come from, my background, and just growing up from playing basketball, playing with coaches, you know, I was used to getting, you know, I had to have tough skin, you know. Yeah. So, you know, that really made me realize, okay, I'm doing what I know I want to do and what I love to do. So
yeah, and you can feel that the way you talk about it and the things, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but. I want to go back to something that you and I were talking about when we were first chatting about that transition period, and kind of like that, you're learning how, you know, adulting sucks, as people say, but it is this transition, just as you were like, you know, have to apply for jobs and like, how do you get experience if you don't have experience? But it's like going from being playing at college and being a collegiate athlete, and you're so focused on that ball stops bouncing. That's a big adjustment. And I know we similarly talked about this, a bit of an identity crisis, and during that time of figuring out. And so, you know, it is a time when I think you were telling me you're kind of trying to be kind to yourself in this period where you're figuring out, but I would love for you to share with the audience, like, what's your experience been, and whether it's the identity crisis part or it's just the adulting part, and, you know, share with other people, because we either have people who are kind of in your same generation or older folks who are, you know, and I think the perspective is helpful.
I think the identity part was the big thing for me, because if you think about it, if you're at a young age, you start playing whatever sport you're playing at a young age, right? And just all you know, you waking up every day, you going to this practice, you're staying late, you know, all the grind that comes with being a college athlete or just an athlete in general. People who know you as that, you know, high school, you might be popular because you are one of the star athletes, you know, so you're so used to that. So when the ball start bouncing, a lot of people change, you know, You might not get that same love that you was getting when you was an athlete. So one, that plays a part. And then two, in your head, I feel like every athlete feels like they're going to that next level. You know, that's your goal. That's your dream. You know, people have dreams of going to the NBA, NFL, wherever it is. And when that don't happen, you almost feel like you fail yourself, you know, yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, and that was real tough for me. It kind of took me like a year and a half to really be like, okay, what is it? What are you going to do? What's next? Because I felt like I watched a whole year go by where I was still stuck in the same spot, not knowing what was next. All I knew was basketball. And that's definitely, that plays a big mental part in a lot of athletes' lives that's not really talked about that much. And so what I would tell people is to really, especially early, at an early age, stop figuring out which, what else you like to do. You know, what else are you good at? Because some people might think, they don't know. I ask kids all the time, like, hey, what is it that you like to do on your free time? And, oh, who? Play basketball? Play football? That's, you know, so really start figuring out what you like to do at an early age and start doing extracurricular activities that surround yourself around that, whether that's graphic designing, anything, you know, because you're going to need that when the ball starts bouncing eventually, because it will, you know. So I don't think a lot of people realize that.
You're right. I don't think a lot of people realize, a lot of people don't talk about it. And I think that, you know, we're talking about it here in the realm of sport. And I told you, I similarly had that where I was like, holy, the ball starts bouncing. Who am I? What am I going to do? And I was just like, oh, I'll throw myself into a career in basketball.
Right.
I know you're probably the same way. You slept with your ball. Like, it, that's just what you did. And so, but I think it's also interesting because, as I shared with you, I think that, and for the audience, if you're listening, you may not have played sport or you didn't have that same drive or that same goal. But I think it's also something that can carry out in a professional career. You know, when you identify with that job, that role, that title you have, and if something changes, like whatever it is that makes the ball stop bouncing, whether you elect to get a new job, you lose your job, there can be a similar, like, identity crisis. And I offer that I went through that. When I worked for the Nets, I worked in the NBA family for 13 years. And then when I stepped away voluntarily, I had no idea that it was going to crash at me again. And I felt like I hit a wall.
Right.
But I will remember one day I caught myself after I had left and started a new job, and I introduced myself. I could no longer say, I'm Shauna and I work for the Nets. That's what I did. And because I didn't realize I was doing that.
Yeah.
But I think these are all just like really relatable things, because whether you face it in sport or you face it in your career, that's that element of just, if you know it's going to happen or could happen, it helps you a little bit to be like, oh, I can get through this.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I like now is that the NCAA is letting people do NIL deals, because now you're forcing that athlete for any sport to start thinking about their brand more, which could lead to, when the ball starts bouncing, they know exactly what lane they want to go into. So that's why I'm a big fan of the NIL right now for college athletes, because I'm actually helping a few guys now that never been in a situation where they had to present to another company and let them know who they are and what their brand is, you know, and it's time to figure that out and take it more serious. So I appreciate the whole NIL thing that's going
on. Yeah, I think it's great. I think that, you know, when before that, it was like when you actually started seeing professional athletes start to have, like, they thought of themselves more as like business people,
right?
You know, business women, business men, whatever. And like doing more of that. And all of a sudden it's like, they have, I can't remember who it was, but he was like, has an app and all this stuff, you know? And so I think previously, whether it wasn't talked about, or it's just, you know, when it's more known, it's like, oh, okay. Then my hope, like you're saying, is that people at a younger age do start to think about those things. Yeah. You know, I confess, I graduated from undergrad and then grad school and was still like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So, you know, I think it's I just think it's really important to be able to, you know, be open about this and real, and then you don't feel, because it does take a mental toll, you know? And so that stress, and it does affect your mental health. So I think it's really important, especially with all we're seeing in, you know, what's happening with athletes, you know, and how hard it can be. So I'm glad to talk about it, but that's one side of it. But I also think that athletics really helps to prepare people for their career. And a lot of times, like see a lot of times when I see people who have been athletes, I see them in professionally and the work that they're doing, and there's certain traits that people will have. And so I think that there can be a huge upside to that. So I'm curious what your thoughts are about, you know, how has actually being an athlete helped you to go about, whether it was the stuff that you've been doing on your own or, you know, some of these, I know you've been doing a lot of interviewing lately. So how do you think that's been helpful?
Honestly, when you think about it, it helps out 110%, literally, because skills transfer over to when you're going into the work world and trying to figure out your career, because you got to have good time management. You got to hustle. You know, you talk to some reporters, you know, so you learn how to interview, you know, so those are all important, knowing what to say and what not to say, how to look, you know, so it's them skills definitely transfer over that. I feel like in the work world that a lot of, for example, how I didn't have any experience, that was my experience, being an athlete, and being a college athlete, that is my work skills to a certain extent, you know, so that definitely transfer over.
Yeah, definitely. I think also the element of being a team player, knowing how to lead, because if you played at the collegiate level, then you were probably top in high school, and there's a leadership aspect there. You know how to lead, but you also know how to follow a coach, a boss.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking in sweeping generalities, but I think there are sometimes things that can just be really helpful. And that you talked about it earlier is like you had some sort of rejection, or you've had to fight for your place, or those type of things. So I think those are all kind of ingrained some traits in us that help us as we're, you know, going on as, in our careers. And you don't have to just be an athlete to have those things, but I do find it pretty, you know, pretty helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like I said, for example, another skill, you have to prove yourself, you know, when you're an athlete, you got to prove yourself that you want playing time. It's the same way you got to prove to whoever your boss is that you deserve an opportunity, you deserve that raise or to move up in the company. So
yeah,
it plays hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you have to prove yourself to yourself, because we all get, you get in a shooting slump, whatever it is, you know, because there's days, I think that another thing that I don't think a lot of people talk about, well, is that element of like doubting yourself in career. And I think sometimes people think, younger people can think, like next geners can think that someone who's more established, that never happens, you know? And so I was talking to someone and I was saying, like, I have those moments all the time. And she was like, what? You know? And so again, it's like, just like you, that's an element of proving yourself to yourself just as much as you have to prove yourself to other people. And something, actually, what you just said triggered something I say a lot, is like, you have to earn the right to come back to your job every day by proving yourself every day. But that's what we learned to do on the court. You had to earn the right to come back to that spot and your starting spot every day.
Every day. That's right. You're right about that one. Because the thing where you got people that's coming in right after you. So they looking at you, even if you're the top guy, they coming to take your spot. You know?
I know I felt that way when I first started working in sport and entertainment, because, you know, you just feel like I always felt like somebody was, you know, chomping at my heels, ready to take my spot. And I just used to get to work every day and be like, oh, my seat's still here.
Right. Hey, it's real.
It's so true. So we talked about your transition from playing and what you, and working and stuff, but, you know, what you've been doing is proper athlete representation. So I would love for you to tell the audience, like, how did you create that as part of your reality? And I know that you just recently had one of your guys signing with the pros. And so congratulations on that. I know you gave a shout out, but talk to us about that experience and what you're doing in the space.
Honestly, I love it, because I really consider myself as like a dot connector, you know, and that's something I love to do. I love talking to people. I love creating campaigns, talking to a brand, looking at an athlete's brand and figuring out what makes sense for them. So I always say that I don't know if you know who Maverick Carter is, right? But he's he's LeBron James' marketing agent, right? Yeah. So he's the guy, he's not the agent that deals with the contract negotiation, but he helps them with all the branding stuff they do. So if you see stuff with like Sprite for LeBron James, you know, he do things like that. And I knew that's where I wanted to be because I'm like, oh, that's more fun. That's more my lane. I like creating an idea and pitching it to a brand and seeing how that, you know, how it can work out together. So I fell in love with that. And one, I'm still around the game, sports. You know, I love sports. So I'm still around it. So I'm around these guys. Every person is different. Every personality is different. So you said, what was the question? You said, how did I get into it?
Yeah, like how did you go from playing? Like, what was your moment where you I know you created it for yourself, yeah. But how did you all of a sudden, like, this is my reality. I'm doing deals for this guy.
So it's crazy, right? I actually, when I was in DC, I was thinking about moving to Seattle, right? I was like, okay, it's time for me to, you know, time for move. I'm ready to get out of Seattle. And this guy, the guy that I actually signed, his name is Daryl Taylor. He plays with the Seattle Seahawks, right? He was a rookie. He played at Tennessee, second round draft pick. And before he got to Seattle, I was letting him know different food spots and smoothie shops where it is, you know, a different place to go. You know, he's from the Virginia area, which is not that far from DC, you know, so that's his hometown. So it was a connection there. I knew some of his teammates as well. So it was a connection there already. Yeah. And I told him before he got to Seattle, I'm like, hey, try these food spots and let me know if you like them. And he ended up trying a smoothie shop called Emerald City Smoothie. And he said he loved it. He reached back out to me on Instagram and was like, hey, I like the smoothie shop. It was, you know, I loved it, right? So from there, I was already thinking like, okay, let's see if we could do like a marketing deal for you, for them. And he didn't do any marketing at first at all. You know, he was just fresh. He just got drafted. He didn't know what he was going, you know, what marketing was really. So I pitched the Emerald City Smoothie and they was like, they would love to work with him. What ideas do I have? And mind you, this is my first deal ever. I never did a negotiation deal for an athlete ever. So yeah. I kind of just took that leap. It was like, you know what? We'll figure out what's going on. All I knew was I didn't want to short him on the money that he could receive. Also, I didn't want to go too crazy with the brand and charge something that they were like, no, we're not paying that. So we actually connected with the brand, sat down in person, talked to him and see what made sense, where he could create his own smoothie, put on the menu, name it and do like a little campaign around it. And they loved the idea. And that's how I got my first deal closed. You know? So literally I had to take a chance on myself and know that I can do it and have some confidence, because if they would have seen I didn't have confidence, they probably would be like, no, we're going to pass on this deal. And he probably would have passed on me representing him. So that's how I stepped out there and got my first opportunity and worked with an athlete and doing my closing my first deal. So,
it's so awesome. I love that story. And I love also, like, when you talk about it, you can just feel that your genuine, like, excitement about it. And you're the whole, again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about your creativity, your dot connecting. You think of this ecosystem of the player, the business, the, you know, all of the things. And so you are definitely on the right track. It's awesome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So give, what was recently, I saw it on LinkedIn and I even commented about it, but talk about it. You had a player who signed. What was that happened?
Oh no. So it was actually an influencer. Her name is Infamous Casey. She's real big in the Seattle area. Uh-huh. And I helped her get a deal with eBay.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. So that's what that was. I helped her get a deal with eBay, where she's like, her brand is all about sneakers, fashion, culture. She has like electric green hair. So she worked with some of the best. You know, she worked in the WNBA with the Seattle Storm, Seattle Seahawks, and the Sounders as well. So she got a big name. So I just so happened to help her get like a deal with eBay because they was in Seattle. So that's how that happened.
That's so cool. I love that. That's awesome. So as you're in it every day, and like when I talked about that you can really see you have fun with it, right? And you love it, but like what drives you every day? Is it like what helps when you get up every day? What is it that kind of is, whether it's like your North Star or what's that thing that gives you that sort of spark?
I think what drives me is that I'm doing something that I love. Like I can, before I even start, so give you a little background a little bit. Before I started working with a lot of different athletes I'm working with now, I wasn't charged at anything at first, you know, because one, I had to prove myself, because this is me coming from no experience, you know, so I had to prove myself that I can do it. So I didn't want to charge them anything where, you know, I'm charging full money and I can't provide what I said I could do. Yeah. You know? So one, I wanted to show people that I'm actually good at what I do. And then two, I knew the money would come, but I wasn't, I know it's money in this industry, you know, in the sports industry, but that didn't drive me. Drive me was knowing that, hey, I could wake up every day and do this for free if I had to, you know, and, you know, now I don't have to do it for free, but, but I think that's what drives me. Just, you know, knowing that I love what I'm doing and knowing that I didn't have an opportunity at first. You know, I had to create something on my own. And that was, that's what it's something I think about all the time. I actually got it written down on my board that, you know, I'm like, I did this, you know, when I said, I did this.
I did this.
Because like I said, I was waiting for opportunity and it wasn't coming, you know, so I had to create my own and look where I'm at now. And I still don't feel like I'm where I need to be or where I want to be. I just know I'm way further than where I was before. And that's the drive.
Yeah. I love that. I did this. That's so good. It's so good. But I think it's really important to keep that in mind for ourselves, to remind ourselves that, and then remind other people to think about it that way, because there is an element of pride in that. There is an element that, but you know what it took, right, to make it happen. So you know that worst case scenario, kind of think back to what I was saying about Jake Brown, like fail forward.
Right.
Worst case scenario, something doesn't happen. You already proved yourself that you could make something happen. So you'll be right back there being like, I did this too.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, you got to have some confidence. You know what I mean? And I'm a huge believer in like what you speak will, you know, happen. So what you speak in the universe will happen. So even when I'm having my down moments, I still find ways to like motivate myself or like just encourage myself, and because I encourage other people as well, you know, even people that's around me that might have a down day or they're thinking bad thoughts, I just try to, you know, tell them that, you know, start thinking more positive, look at what you have done and really go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Which actually brings me to the next two things I want to talk about, which is kind of combined, which is the impact you're making and if you actually see yourself as a leader. And so I'm curious, like, I'll go with the last one first. Do you actually see yourself as a leader? Because I clearly think of you as a leader, but do you see yourself as that? And when did that kind of emerge, if so?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I definitely feel like I'm a leader. And the reason why I think I'm a leader is because I actually did my first back-to-school drive with one of my best friends. His name is Deontay Holden. He's the founder and CEO of Law Athlete, you know, and we did a back-to-school drive. And when, you know, we partnered with Target and we made all the school, you know, this is for the school year, beginning of the school year. We partnered with Target. We had all the school supplies they needed to go back to school. And actually it was a young guy that came up to me and he asked me, what did I do? Right. And he was an athlete. He played football. I forgot his name, but he played football. And he asked me, he was like, what do you do? And I told him what I did. And he was like, wow, I didn't even know there was it was careers like that, you know, because all he knows was football. At a young age, he's probably like 13, you know, 14. Right. So for him to come up to me and ask me that and was actually interested in asking and connect with me to learn a little bit more, that spoke value to me and let me know, like, hey, I'm doing something. You know, I'm doing something, especially if the younger kids are looking at me and ask me questions about what I do, because it looks exciting. Oh, you're around athletes. What are you doing? How are you doing this for them? So that's how I think I'm a leader, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that also points to the impact that you're making, right? You just talked about like doing a school drive, but also you've talked you've been sharing about, you know, like kind of looking out for the other people coming up and guidance that you give people. So, you know, I think there's a degree to which, you know, there's only one life that I know of that we have. And so it's so important to be able to make that impact. And we're fortunate that you're fortunate, I'm fortunate that I love what I do.
Right.
And so, and I, you know, as my coach was saying to me today about like, do more of what serves you and do less of what doesn't serve you.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, and I think when you can really kind of operate in that space, it really allows us to help maximize the impact that we can have, you know, all to the good.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Because like I said, I want that younger generation to know that there's more than just making it to the league and being a pro. You can still be a pro but in a whole different, you know, in a whole different thing. You know?
I love that.
And that's what I always tell them. I say, you can still be a pro in a whole different type of lane. And some of them don't understand that. And then when they do look at it, they be like, okay, there's more careers out here. Like, so you could be a sports agent. You could be a brand manager. You could be an account executive with an NBA team. You know, these are opportunities that's out here that you can still be around that game that you love, you know, without playing. You know, yeah. I say sometimes that day is going to come where you got to figure out what's next for you. Yeah. You know, and it's better to figure that out early than later, you know, and you waiting and trying to figure out, hey, what is it that I really love to do? You know, so.
Yeah. As you're talking just now, I just thought, you know, for those of the audience, if you're listening, doesn't matter where you are in your career, like the stage of your career. I think what you were just talking about, Key, is so relevant because, you know, say someone's older in their career, we're still all evolving in our careers, right? There's some sort of a next step. Whatever you're doing now, at some point it will shift, stop bouncing, whatever the pivot will be. And it's really helpful to continue to ask ourselves, what do we want to be doing? Where should we be spending our time? What lane do I want to be a pro in, you know? And it takes that preparation along the way. And I think there's an element of, as you were saying it, I was feeling a bit inspired. And so I just paused to share with the audience, like, you know, I just encourage people, if you're not in sport, if you're not a next gen, like, this is very much still relevant to you. So thank you so much for sharing that and inspiring.
No problem at all. Like, I just want people to do what they love, you know what I mean? that's it. Like, once you do what you love, it'd be a lot more peace in, you know, in the universe when you're doing what you love to do. So I definitely encourage people to figure out what your passions are, and it's never too late to pivot, you know?
Exactly.
No, so whatever it is, you know, write it down and just figure out a plan on how you can make it work, you know, and it will work. Yeah. So.
And like you said, say it, speak the words.
Speak it.
So the next thing I wanted to ask you about is a little bit of the whole like adulting, adjusting type thing, but you shared with the audience that you had moved from DC to Seattle, and that's a big move. That's like not only distance and everything, but I think just DC and Seattle are so different, you know?
Absolutely.
And what I've found a lot as I've moved around for my career, I did, it was in different parts of the country, is very like different culturally, the way people in life, the way people work. DC is also very diverse, very urban. My experience in Seattle is not so much those things.
Right.
So you probably have felt even more at times, more of a minority, you know, at times in Seattle than you did in DC. So I'm just curious, like, what's been your experience with that? How are you adjusting?
One thing I can say, I feel like I can adjust quick to anything, because when I was younger, like I said, playing basketball, playing in college, I was always leaving, going out of town. So I've seen a lot of state, been in a lot of states, different states, seeing the culture. Like, so even in college, my first 2 years, I was in Kansas, you know, so DC to Kansas is a complete culture shock, you know, so it just, at the point when I was in DC, I just realized that, you know, I wanted to move. I wanted to get my own space, you know, move away from home to kind of do my own thing and figure out who I am as a person as well. This is all through the stages of trying to figure out what I was going to do for, you know, work-wise. And like I said, when I moved to Seattle, it made sense because I had two athletes that played in the Seattle area. And I was like, do I want to stay home and work and communicate with them? Or do I want to actually be out there and just experience a whole new city, new state? And I just took that leap. I was like, forget it. I was like, let me just take the move. I was like, because worst case scenario, I could move back or I could move somewhere else. And I appreciate it because, like I said, you figure out who you are. You got to meet people. And I feel like it's easy for me to connect with people and build genuine connections with people. So I wasn't afraid about that. But the culture is definitely different because I come from DC. I'm coming from, like you said, a real diverse place. And it's a lot more things to do outside. So Seattle is way more, I would say, how can I explain it? It's way more chill, like, than the DC area. You know, DC area is super fast. Seattle is real kind of slower, and it's more like an outside place. You want, if you enjoy nature and you enjoy being outside, beautiful weather in the summertime, not during the whole year, but summertime, then you'll love Seattle, you know. So, and it's a lot of good opportunities in Seattle because of all the tech companies that's here in Seattle. You know, I didn't know Nordstrom's was out of Seattle, T-Mobile, you know, all these different places. And that's why people are moving from different places and going to Seattle. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no, I love that. And I love that you just jumped into it. And I know we've had a lot of time as we talked, we've had some like similarities. And of course, mine was like, you know, moons ago. However, when I would go to a place, I remember I was, I had been preparing myself. I thought I was going to move to New York City. And I was like, you know, New York City, Shauna, the hustle, the like you know, shades, and like black head to toe, which I still wear. But I also got this call up from the NBA to help start the MBDL and the team that was in Asheville, North Carolina. So my car was like pointed to go to New York City. I'm like, I was going to move on Sunday and nope, I moved to North Carolina instead. I was like, but I remember I rolled down there. I rocked up in Asheville, North Carolina with like New York Shauna and people were like, you're out from around here, are you?
See, that's definitely a big adjustment right there to anybody, you know, because where you're originally from, where again?
Michigan.
So yeah, you went from Michigan to New York to North Carolina. That's three different places, three different cultures.
So. It's so different. But to your point, I think that like, I love what you said about worst case scenario doesn't work. You can move back. You know, and so a lot of times when people, especially like a younger generation, will ask me for some guidance and things, I often tell people, and I actually told my niece this recently when she was trying to decide where she wanted to go to college. And I just told her, I was like, just remember that you can change your decision. If you go there and it doesn't work, it's okay to make a change. Right. And I think that, again, like it's good for all of us to hear, anybody who's listening in the audience, no matter where you are in your career, whatever you're doing, we can meet ourselves with some grace and know that it's okay to make a change. You don't have to stay somewhere you're not happy, whether it's a job, whether it's a location, whatever, and make a change. Again, you know, go back to like do more of what serves you and less of what doesn't.
Yeah, because I remember about 3 years ago, I actually went back to one of my old high school, and I was talking to, you know, some of the guys that's playing on the team then, and a lot of guys had some opportunities to go play basketball in like different states that was further away from home, you know, and a lot of guys were saying, no, I'm not going to take the opportunity to go because that's too far. I ain't trying to leave home. When really, you never know what could really come out of it, you know, come out of leaving home. And I feel like everybody should at least leave home once, you know, at least once. Like I said, you can always come back, you know, to your city. But it's so much more out here. It's so much more people you can meet. You never know what could happen. You know, you can, like I said, you don't have to be there your whole life when you move. You know, you can come right back. But just at least get that experience and see what it feels like, because it definitely do something for you. Because for me, when I left to go to Kansas, was I nervous a little bit? Not really. I knew it would be different, but the same things was happening in DC that was like when I was there, it was still going on, you know, where there was different people that I knew grew up with that was still doing the same thing and doing bad things that they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And you got away from that and you kind of got away from just being peaceful with yourself and being at peace with yourself. So I feel like everybody, whether you're an athlete or not, should leave home at least once. Unless you just have a great opportunity that you can't pass up and you got it.
Yeah. I love when you're talking, what really comes out to me a lot is like you have a desire just to evolve yourself, to learn different perspectives, that have different experiences. And I just, again, it's something I just celebrate that you're doing those things, because I think, you know, it all becomes tools in the toolbox that we're building, right? And so I think, you know, I know that I was better because I had been in Detroit, I had been in Seattle, I had been in North Carolina. So it just helps me to know, be able to operate, maybe know different people around the country. It helps me understand that, like, maybe if someone doesn't have that experience, they don't actually know that in a different state, it's very different culturally, the way people do business. And so I think it helps, especially, you know, as you go with your career, those are little tools that go in your toolbox that can be really handy.
Absolutely. Because especially when you're, like, say, you're in the corporate world, business world, you know, like I said, you're going to meet different cultures. You got to be able to adapt to everything, you know, different people, how to talk in different rooms, how to, you know, so being in different states is going, I feel like we'll teach you that.
Yeah.
Because you know how certain people act, they how they talk, you know, it's everything is different. So you just got to at least get a taste of what that is.
Yeah, absolututely. Absolutely. So I've got a couple other questions before I let you go and continue on your day. So we've talked a lot about, I've kind of paused at different times and said, like, you know, different generations and whether people are younger or older, but I like to ask people who are on as next geners, like, is there anything that you wish the a generation ahead of you, the older, you know, a generation is older than you, is there anything that you wish or want them to know or think of differently?
Ooh, that's a great question right there. What I would want the older generation to do, especially in like the work world, give some of these young, you know, these young professionals an opportunity. You know, even though they're young, you know, they might not have all the experience, but a lot of them do have something. You know, they have a mentality, a hustle, and they're willing to work. You know, at least I feel like a lot of people don't get the opportunity because they don't have the experience. And a lot of the older generation look at that and be like, hey, we want to take more experience than, you know, the young person that's coming in, when really that young person might change the whole company as far as a perspective part when it comes to the new trends that out. Because now it's run by social media. You know, the world is run by social media now. And this is what the young generation grew up on, you know, so that's all they know is social media. So they can help out in that aspect and bring something new to the culture, you know. So I think the other generation kind of look at that some more, which I feel like some people have been doing, but not really at the same time.
Yeah, so I've seen those things where people like basically write like joking memes about it or like posts about it where they're like, you know, you have to have, it's an entry level position, but you have to have 10 years of experience.
Exactly. That's what I was getting. I was like, what am I doing wrong? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm an athlete and I didn't work no job. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. So that's a really great takeaway. So, you know, just for the, again, as you said, like the older generation, give the young folks coming up a chance if they don't tick all the boxes and have all the experience. So right. That is a really good one. So my next one is is a walkout song. Like, and here's my story behind why I'm asking the question. Yeah, cool. So one of my best friends, love her to pieces, I was going to interview for a job and she said to me like, well, what would your walkout song be like to go into that room that is going to just make you feel like you got it? And I was like, I was like, ooh, That Girl's on Fire by Alicia Keys.
Okay, that's a good song though.
And I know it's a good song, number one. Number two, I often think about that. Like if I'm going to go do something, I like think about it to myself and like, you know, my like posture changes. And I'm like, I got this, right? So I'm curious, what would your walkout song be?
That's easy. My walkout song would be, it would be from Jay-Z. It's called Feeling It, and it's on the Reasonable Doubt album, one of his best albums ever. And that song, the title alone, Feeling It, you feel like you got it. Yeah. It's confident. So that song right there makes me, one, happy, then two, make me feel like I'm about to get something done. You know,
I got something done. So. I love that. That's a good one. Okay. Yeah. All right. So then my last thing is I like to ask people, what would a takeaway from your episode of this? Like, what do you want people who have been listening today, if they take one or two things away, what do you want that to be?
What I want people to take away from this, and you could be way older than me or you could be way younger than me, just take a risk, you know, man, what you love to do. One, because it's a lot of people that might be older than me that's in something that they really don't love, you know, and they're in that situation because they're comfortable with what they're doing, you know, and that's okay. But figure out what you really love to do and go do it, you know, write a plan for it. And if it, like I said, if it don't work, you can stay where you at. But like I said, at least put the work in and figure out what it is you're going to do and take that risk, you know, because you never know what can happen. And if you're, I'm pretty sure if people could make a lot of money doing what they love to do, then they would do, you know, they would do it. Because a lot of people don't love what they do right now. And I just want people to look at that differently.
I love that. Take a risk. I love it. All right, you. Well, I am so grateful that you spent time with us today. Thank you so much. And you go on and have an awesome day. Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.